that we could take advantage of it this week, apply it to our lives, and Lord, that we could benefit from it, and those around us benefit from it. I pray, oh God, you do wonderful things, and I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 14, we'll start reading this week in verse number. Well, let's start reading in verse 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is the riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. All right, that's a good place to stop right there. We'll go back. We covered verse 10 last week. Verse 11 here we didn't cover, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this verse, but I will just read it and go over it. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Now, many of these verses are in the book of Proverbs. There are many of these verses like this. And sometimes you see somebody that's wicked or evil. Just another example, the Bible says that the wicked man won't live out half his days. He won't see half of his days. But you've seen evil men live 70 years and sometimes even more than that. And you've seen the righteous, you've seen them have little, and you've seen the unrighteous have much. So what about a verse like this that says the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish? And I believe that these verses are ultimate verses. In other words, the ultimate overthrow, the ultimate outcome of a person's house. Of course, every wicked man, every person, man, woman, boy, or girl is going to end, our lives end in death, of course. That's something we don't want to talk about, but it certainly is true. Can't be avoided. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. So you do right, and God is going to reward you for it. Even if in this life you don't get everything that you think you deserve, that's because you're looking at that wrong. Amen. A person that thinks he didn't get what he deserves, he's right about it, but he's looking at it from the wrong direction. He's looking at it backwards. God's been very merciful to us. And so this is a principle. The principle is that right would always come out to the good and wrong would always come out to the bad. And that principle will be ultimately fulfilled in Christ. It'll be fulfilled in the resurrection. It'll be fulfilled in the regeneration of the earth. And of course, a lot of times in this life, the world we live in isn't fair. The world we live in is cursed. There is going to be difficulties even for the righteous in this life. But ultimately it is better and will cause the blooming, the flourishing, if you'll do the right thing and stick with the Lord and stick with what's right. The Lord will bless you for it. There's no question about that. You read the book of Psalms and the psalmist says, hey, I was, my feet well nigh slipped. I just about got backslid. That's what he's saying. Because I looked at the wicked and they're not They're not afraid like other men. They're not troubled like other men. But he said, I went to the house of God and I saw their end. I saw what God was going to do to them in the end. And he decided that he had it right. Amen. He had the best end of the deal. And that's exactly what you do. If you're living for God, you've got the best end of the deal. Amen. So he says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. So if you want to do good to your home, you want to do good to your wife or husband, you want to do good to those, your posterity, those that come after you, and your line, you do the right thing, and that thing will be a blessing. You know, your house doesn't die with you. When you die, you'll have children, they'll be carrying on, and they will benefit. And they, you don't know. The Bible says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And of course, that has a direct context to you, but you don't know what's going to take place after you're dead. But I guarantee you this, what takes place after you're dead has a direct reflection on you. What you do is going to carry over to your children, and that's going to carry over to their children, and that's going to carry on to their children. And there are entire races of people right now that live in darkness because of what mama and daddy did back in the past, in some remote space in time or history. People turned their back on God and went away from God, and whole peoples have come from those families. And they're in darkness today, not because God ordained them or predestinated them to be darkness or light, but because of what happened in the past and in their family. Mamas and daddies way back when, just like the trials and tribulations of Israel in our past. We can go back and read about the great difficulties that the Jews have had, both in America and in Europe and different places. Of course, America's been about as good to the Jew as anybody in the world, but still there's anti-Semitism in America. And you can trace that back to one event, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that ought to be a very nerve-wracking thing for anybody to want to leave their children in this earth without a good example of doing what's right and good and honest and godly. Amen? Y'all better wake up this morning. Amen? The day's going to go on whether you go with it or not. Amen? Well, let's see. Let's move on here. It says in verse number 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the way of death. Boy, what a large verse this is, and what a long time we could spend on this verse. I'll try not to spend too long on it, but we certainly could spend a long time on it. I watched a little presentation from a den of thieves, but it was a bunch of different religious folks telling how, you know, Christians ought to love homosexuals and how they ought to, you know, accept it, and it's nothing wrong with it. And one of those fellas with his collar on backwards even said that how could we hate anything that had anything to do with love, and homosexuals really love. No, they don't love. There's no such thing as love that'll abuse yourself with mankind like that. That's lust. Amen. That's lust. Amen. And you may think it's right, you may feel like it's right, but God really don't care what you think. One of those fellas, it might have even been one of those women preachers. And listen, if you ain't got enough sense to discern a little verse like, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man, don't start telling me about the deep dark secrets of the soul. Yeah. Amen. I really don't care what you think about homosexuality if you can't even tell the difference between what your role on this earth is. Yeah. Amen. Oh, you one of them male chauvinists. Shut your mouth. You don't know what I am. Amen. Yeah. That's right. Amen. Yeah. You're one of them bigots, and you no. It's a listen. God didn't say a woman wasn't smart enough to pastor. God didn't say a woman didn't have the skill to pastor. God didn't say any of that. He just said you couldn't do it. Amen. Again, we're going back to something that happened in the past that nailed down what's going to happen in today's time. Now, you want to be a pastor, go be a pastor. But God said you couldn't do it because your mother was deceived and didn't go according to God's word, it would have been better off for you to flat out been disobedient than to be deceived. Amen. That's just the size of it. Here these women are sitting around talking about what a disservice Christianity is doing to homosexuals. One of those ladies said, and I'm pretty certain that it was a lady, she said, how can we judge in this mean, and that was the gist of it. I'm not giving a direct quotation. I don't have a habit of memorizing the words of idiots, but at any rate, I got over that listening to rock and roll in high school. That was something you did back when you were an idiot, not what you do when you're an adult. But how could we imagine that God would send them to hell? Because the Bible said, because God said He would send them to hell. That's why you're a preacher. You're a pastor of a church. You're a leader in a denomination. Art thou a master in thy denomination and don't know these things? That's what Jesus asked Nicodemus. He said, you are ruler of the Jews. You don't know these things? Yeah. Amen. You could know. You know, we read in the book of Colossians that the Lord hid the gospel from, it was revealed, it was included in the Old Testament. It was foretold in the Old Testament, but the Jews couldn't see it. The Bible said, because they were blinded. God blinded their minds to it. But Jesus held Nicodemus accountable for it. He said, you're a ruler of the Jews and you don't know these things? So that leads me to believe if a man wanted to know, he could know it. But Jews didn't want to know. Amen. Why would these homosexuals, I might have just spoke by the Spirit of the Lord right there. Any pastor or preacher that condones homosexual probably is because he is a homosexual or she. Amen. I would go so far as to say any man or any woman married to the opposite gender and takes up for homosexuality probably is a homosexual. Amen. I feel like any actor that would get on television and act like they were a homosexual was probably a homosexual. Amen. 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 There ain't enough $1 million on the planet to get me to kiss another man on a television or any other thing. Amen. Amen. I'm still mad at God for saying, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Amen. Don't look crossways at me. You mad at him because he said do right. Amen. I'm just trying to be on an even keel here, trying to get my life straight. Amen. Not trying to kiss no man for no purpose at all. Amen. Well, what I'm trying to get across to you is people think it's right. People been trained to think it's right. My heart's desire and my prayer here lately is that God would reveal all of this foolishness that's going on and just let the people see. And if the people saw, they'd probably still go along with it. But I've been praying that God would open people's eyes to the deceit that's going on in Hollywood and the music industry and the political system in America, because they're all in cahoots and they're trying to blind people. Listen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And tyranny cannot reign in this country until people give up their God.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Amen. Right. And you've got to promote ungodliness until the people are saturated into it. When you break the Holy Spirit's influence on the people, you'll break their liberty. And the American people are the dumbest people that ever lived. And I'm sure God would say that about all of His people throughout history. He'd probably just look at them and say, you're the dumbest people. I mean, how in the world they come out of Egypt and right at the Exodus made a molten cow and started worshiping it. God said, y'all the dumbest people that ever was. just the dumbest people. Just brought you across the Red Sea. Just changed the bitter water into sweet. I just did this for you. And all the stuff that God's done for America, Americans are now standing with their fist in the air. We're so bad. We're so bad. We're so bad. Not the same. We're racist and we're bigots and we've done all these bad things. And in the same breath, turn over and look at a nation like Egypt because they got 4 pounds of rocks standing in the desert over there. They just marvel at the Egyptians. Oh my goodness, they were so advanced and so. Listen, they had slaves. They had slaves in Egypt. If we're bad for doing it, how come the Egyptians are not bad for doing it? The Bible says that Moses and Aaron told Pharaoh said, go ahead and go worship your God, but do it right here in the land. And the response was this. He said, we can't do it right here in the land because we'll sacrifice that which is an abomination to the Egyptians. And he was talking about sheep. The Egyptians didn't like sheep. So, that's a weird thing not to like. But at any rate, people are hung up on weird stuff. You progress through the timeline there, and you've got Joseph standing in front of his brethren. They don't know who he is. He does know who they are. And he's serving them a meal and all this stuff. And the Bible lets you know that the Egyptians are eating separately because it's an abomination for them to eat with Hebrews. Well, that's prejudice. You walk out on Main Street and say, I ain't eating with y'all black folks no more. Y'all an abomination. Hey, I'm not eating with you Jewish folks. Of course, you could get away with this if you said, I'm not eating with the Jewish folks. They're an abomination. The CNN have you on the front page saying you ought to be president. Yeah. Hey, I'm not eating with these Irishmen. They're an abomination. See, they'd crucify you. But they'd make a big deal out of somebody like Egypt or anybody else for that matter. Amen. They down the road on George Washington, but they'll make a god out of Castro and Guevara and all these guys that shot and killed one another and all this stuff down in Cuba. But American people, just as long as the Brady Bunch comes on and Chick-fil-A's still open, we're a godly country. Amen. Well, I guarantee you folks ease their wicked conscience. Christians is who I'm talking about. They ease their conscience, you know. I really supported Chick-fil-A back in the controversy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, it takes more than eating at Chick-fil-A. Amen. Well, he said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. I said this the other night at the ordination. I'll say it again. Sin hadn't stopped killing people. And there's only one definition of sin. I don't care what you think about it. It doesn't make any difference what you think about it. What the Bible says about an issue is right. And if you're not going according to the Bible, you're not right. Amen. There's no room for compromise. They've made compromise a virtue. The only place in this world where compromise is a virtue is in politics. And you see what that gets you. Amen. That'll get you hung. Well, there's no place for it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If you say, well, we've been saved by grace and Jesus died for our sins. And sin is still a sin. And sin will still kill you. And sin will still torture you in your brain. Sin will still kill your children in their bodies. Sin will still do every wicked thing and every evil thing that it ever has done on this planet. Sin is still deceiving folks. Sin is still deceiving Christians. Sin is still dragging folks out of church. Sin is still taking little babies from the cradle and dragging them through life to a terrible grave. It ain't never going to change. It ain't never going to stop till God comes here and wipes it out. Full scale, wipes it out. and then turns this world over to the righteous and throws all the wicked into hell. That's when it'll stop, and that's when you can start standing up for what's right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, it's going to change so abruptly, he'll set you down and say, no more preaching. If I catch you preaching on the street, I'll stone you with stones. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to take place. Going to take place. Now's the time for you to do right. Amen. Now's the time. You say, why? There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Just because you think a thing is right, and just because you can get your favorite preacher to agree with you on it, doesn't mean it's right.
Amen.
Just doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean people, they can present it as a fact and all get together on it and agree on it. Still wrong. Still wrong. Brother Mike, how can you stand and say evolution's not right when all these scientists say that it's right? Them scientists eat boogers just like your kid does.
Yeah.
Amen. That if they don't take a bath, they'll stink just as bad.
Yeah.
You go in their houses, and their houses is dirty just like yours is. They got dirt on the floor just like yours. They messed their diapers when they was a little baby just like you did.
Yeah.
Well, they've been to school. They don't remember a thing about what they was told in school. Only thing these folks that's got college educations, the only thing they remember is what they studied once they got a job in order to keep that job. They didn't learn one cotton picking thing in college. Not once. A list of vocabulary words, maybe. Only thing they learned in college is how bad the preacher is and how false God is. That's all they learned over there. That's what they back in some of our days, they were learning that in college. Now they're learning it in grade school.
Yeah.
Why can't our kids read and write? Because they're not learning reading and writing in school. They're learning evolution in school.
Amen.
That's why. Amen. And they think it's right. Everybody agrees that it's right. It's settled science. Mm-hmm. That's what Galileo said. Get a bunch of men together and agree that something's true. It ain't never stood. Not one time in the history of man has it ever stood for more than a generation or two. Well, we believe this and we think this. That's all you get. I want you to be very clear on that. Next time your mind begins to wonder, I wonder if this is right or this is wrong. You pick up any textbook, you pick up any book about any kind of science, and it is going to be full of the phrase, we think. We believe. And when they say we believe, it means we think. And just about anything that they'll make a statement on is, well, we think this, and we think this, and they don't know anything. But the only positive statement you're going to find is, there ain't no God. We're sure about that. Amen. I better change gears here. I might get to preaching and then rob you of the benefit of Sunday school. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What's really right will be right even if they lock you up in jail. Amen. Even if they do take your rights away, your guns away, your freedom of speech away. Whatever they do, it's not going to change the truth. Matter of fact, I tell you what it'll change. It'll change them. See, they're trying to hold on to God's morality and God's rules, like don't kill each other and don't steal that. And they're trying to get rid of the religious aspect of morality. And it ain't the more they get rid of God, the more their society turns into a dump. Amen? You couldn't pay me enough to live in Chicago or New York City. You just couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You say, why? Because they're reaping what they've sowed. And the house of the wicked is not flourishing. Amen? If they took the tax dollars out of that city, it would crumble to the ground. There's nothing in it to sustain it from itself. Wickedness of it is corroding those places just like that. If you didn't pour $10 million into it every couple of months, it'd fall apart and go to the devil. Oh, verse number 13. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. You know how to really, 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 really depress yourself? This verse right here will tell you. Get together and laugh with your friends and pretend like you're having a good time, and then get alone by yourself and find out you're worse off than you was. Well, if I could just get a little vacation, or if I could get around my friends and have some fun, then you go ahead and do that and you feel worse afterward than you did before. Amen. There's no health and there's no healing in having fun. The healing is, as I've told you since we started in Proverbs chapter 1, the way to get healed in your mind or your body is to do right. Having fun is not going to help you. Matter of fact, having fun when you ought to be sorrowful for your sins is a way to feel worse and worse. And the modern approach to making people feel better is to get them to come to church, play them a little rock music, ease their mind with a few fair speeches. Now go home and God bless you. They go home feeling worse than they did before. And they're like a bunch of crack addicts. They'll be right back to get them another dose, not knowing that the very medicine that they're taking is killing them. Amen? Amen. Well, Brother Mike, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Merry has nothing to do with riding a merry-go-round. Being merry has nothing to do with playing in the sandbox. Being merry means that you have an easy conscience. It means you have joy in your heart. There's only one prescription for that, and that's do right. Do the right thing. Amen. So what he's talking about here, he says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. Your face can listen to folly or any other such thing and laugh and have a good time. When you go back and get by yourself again, you'll find out you're carrying more of a burden. You say, why is that? Because that which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you're actually doing by having a good time, now listen to what I'm telling you, because, oh, Brother Mike, this is too philosophical. It's truth. What you're actually doing by going out and having a good time when you don't deserve a good time is you are a thief. You're a thief. A wicked man doesn't deserve to have a good time. Amen? What are you talking about? Well, you don't do the right thing. You don't do what God tells you to do. What right do you have to laugh? See, that's one of the defining aspects of this generation. We all think that the end of our existence is to have a good time. The end of our existence is to do well. The end of our existence is to be financially stable. The end of our existence is to have peace of mind. Listen, man lives in a cursed world with a cursed body because he disobeyed his God. The only access you're going to have to joy and peace and serenity is to submit yourselves to God and say, God, you're right and I'm wrong, and be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the only way to it. There's no other way to it. There's no other way to it. I just need some peace. Get right with God then. I mean, you don't deserve it. And in pulpit after pulpit this morning, Brother Pedro, the preacher's going to stand in the pulpit and say, you deserve it. Have a great day. I hope you do have a great day. I'm not talking about my wishes towards you. I'm telling you what is. I wish you all were millionaires. I wish you were all happy and joyous. And I wish you never had a tear. And I wish you never had a care. I'm not talking about what I wish for you. I said, God cursed your body. And God cursed the world you live in. And it's not going to go your way. And the best thing that is ever going to happen to any person on this earth is to say, God, I deserve all of this and more. Amen. Once you do that, you're on your way to joy and you're on your way to peace. You mind to say, whew. When the next hardship comes, you go, boy, I ain't going to enjoy this, but I deserve death. Then you might jump up and shout a little bit and say, hallelujah. Amen. Go to the doctor and say, we got to get that gallbladder out of there. Whew, is that all? Hallelujah. Amen. That's better than I thought it was. I thought we was going to have to remove everything in there. Amen. You say, well, Brother Michael, you... No. I hope you die with all your parts and pieces. But what I'm talking about is a man that understands what he deserves is going to be better off in his mind when he knows he's got better than he deserves. And that's what's wrong with this generation now. They think they deserve more. You don't deserve nothing. There's not a man on this planet that deserves any less than hell. You deserve to be in hell with your back broke and your eyes scratched out, and that's all there is to it. That's all you ever deserve. Brother Mike, you're going to make my kids feel bad. You better get them tuned up before they get into adulthood.
Amen.
You don't deserve nothing.
Amen.
You don't deserve nothing. If we work hard and get something, you better thank God. You better thank God.
That's right.
Amen. Did you know that God can fine-tune a man's mind if he wants to? Listen, if you got the place where you can eat every day, and you got a place to sleep and a place to lay down, you better thank God that God didn't reach down and just turn the dial a little bit on you the first time you was unthankful and give you nothing for the rest of your life. Well, I worked hard for what I got. You might work hard and you might get some things. But it's only by the grace of God that He didn't reach down and tune your dial a little bit, and you'd have been the lazy bum out there on meth that you laugh at every day as you ride by. You got more than you deserve, amen? Amen. The end of that mirth is heaviness. Oh, I'm having a high old time. I'd hate to carry your load to the judgment. Amen. I hope you do have a high old time, but you better have it in godliness. You say, why? Well, verse 14 will tell you why. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Why do people go to extremes? Why is a man not satisfied? Why is it not enough? Why is a kilo of cocaine not enough? Why is it that you get drunk 40 times, you got a hangover 40 times, it never benefits you not one time, but you still go back and do it again? Because a backslider in heart be filled with his way. You don't have to be saved to be a backslider. Every lost person out there is backslid from Adam, don't you think? He'll be filled with his ways. The Bible says a good man should be satisfied from himself. What you got? Nothing. What you gonna have when you die? Nothing. Well, I don't see how you live like that. Got Jesus? I'm saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't you shout about that? No, you can't, because you've been watching late night hell every night for the last 15 years and you can't think straight. Yeah. Amen. You're not satisfied with nothing. You're a backslider.
Right.
You're a backslider. I preached to you that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I meant every word of it. I might preach it again in a couple of days. You're a backslider. Amen. If you don't want to hear me preach it, you can go look at it on Brother Nathan, put it on somebody. One of us put it on sermon audio. It's over there. You can go listen to it. Be better than walking dead. Amen. You might not think so, but it is. Backslider be filled with his own ways. So we go back there, and even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaven. What's with all these comedians killing themselves? What, Brother Mike, we need cars and we need houses. Well, what's with all these movie stars? They've got the houses and the cars and... Something wrong, ain't it? Oh, Brother Mike, these people do bad because they've got poverty. What about these football players that make $12-15 million a year and still own cocaine and getting fired from their jobs because they beat up their girlfriends and wives and test positive for smoking dope and stuff like that? What's poverty got to do with that? They got millions of dollars. You say what? Backsliders filled with their own ways. They're going to feed that flesh the best they can. They think it's right, but it's not right. the ends thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Lost my place here somewhere. I was about to read this verse. Oh, that fooled me right there. 16 verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. It's in the same place as 14:12, ain't it? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. I about bled over into chapter 16 now to preach you verse 26. We're in actually 14, verse number 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. All right, let's move on. Verse number 15. The simple, but just don't get no easier on us. Sometimes I told you when we first started, the book of Proverbs is the most convicting book that I've ever read in my life. It's more convicting than the book of Revelation. It's more convicting than the book of John or Romans. The book of Proverbs is just against man because it's for righteousness, and it's for wisdom, and it's for understanding. Ain't nothing good in there about you and I, the book of Proverbs. It's just against us. Amen. So you think Brother Mike has really laid it on the line the last 15 minutes. And all these verses, you know, it's even a hard book to read fluently because one verse will be about one topic and the next verse will be about... It's not like reading a paragraph. You're reading a list of proverbs. Some of you read a list like Murphy's Law. See, each sentence is disconnected from the other in most cases. But you go through these things and what you find out is it's rough. It's rough, amen? And there's not a lot of reprieve in these verses, so... You just have to make the most of it. Get as right with God as you can, amen, and endure it. But he says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And it's always the negative side of the verse that gets the traction because that's who it's dealing with. Now, you might be wise, and I'm teaching kind of hard to those of us who fall into the fool category, and you might not be getting much edification out of this, but you just sit there with your arms folded and look down your nose at us and say, y'all poor fools, and you can enjoy the service that way, but the rest of us need this negative part. Amen. The simple believeth every word. Just believe it. Turn on a television program about science, and they say a word like 10 billion years ago. Yeah. And people say, oh man, that's awesome, 10 billion years ago. Did you know a man in his normal capacity can't remember what he'd done 3 weeks ago? Yeah. And you have no scientific record. They say, oh, Brother Mike, the fossil record tells us, the fossil record tells you that everything showed up at one time. That's what the fossil record tells you. And I don't give a flip what you find in the fossil record. It all showed up at one time. Not one bit of it evolved into anything else. Amen. I don't care if you find giants or monsters. I don't care what you find in the fossil record. The fossil record said we all showed up. And there ain't no date on it that says 10 billion years ago. Amen. 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 Well, the scientist said, don't give a flip what he said. Don't make no difference what he said. You can't remember what happened 3 months ago. You think somebody's going to tell you what happened 10 million years ago with no record? You say, well, it could have happened. Okay, whatever. It could have happened, but you don't know what happened. It's just like folks standing in the pulpit saying, the original says, there ain't no such thing as an original. Well, the earliest record's about 400 years after, and we're pretty sure that that's the same as the original. Well, it's only been 400 years since the King James, And you said that the King James has went out of date in 400 years. Don't you think that if things are the way that you say they are, that the good godly people changed? That 4th century writing to match their own... I mean, if God's going to allow you to do it today, didn't He allow them to do it? So surely that fourth century record's not the same as the original. I mean, if the language changes that fast, you fool. All the originals, there ain't no such thing as the original. Well, I just like the NIV better. Well, go on ahead, simpleton. We don't understand these and thous. Well, go ahead, retard. Go ahead. All these bigots, you know, bigots don't believe in dinosaurs and bigots don't believe in the NIV. And all. We don't care if you have an NIV. If you want to be stupid, go ahead. Just believe everything they tell you. It's hard for me to believe that the further you go back in the history, there's less blood in the Bible. It's hard for me to believe that the further you go back... Do you mean to tell me that as the Bible advanced, it got stronger in its admonition about the blood of Christ, and it got stronger in its determination that Jesus Christ was God? Are you telling me that that's what took place in a world where everything else on the planet deteriorated and fell apart and compromised and backslid? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I don't believe that for one second. I believe you got God's Word in your lap. Amen? And if you don't believe God preserved it, you just don't believe God. Go golfing. Go golfing. Amen? If you want to hang out with the homosexuals and deny God's Word, just do that. Take your priest cleric collar off and go play golf and lay around the whorehouse with the football owners and all that kind of stuff and just do that. Just do that. Amen? Or believe what God said and get in it wholeheartedly and full force and go with God. Amen? Just decide. It's like the old prophet said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Get off the fence. Amen? Amen. But they're not going to get out because the devil put them there, because people are simple. All you got to do is put on a little priest robe and get up in front of everybody. God is love, and I love you. Don't you love me? Let's all love one another. Let's get along. That's a good way to get put in a concentration camp. Amen? I feel a little... I didn't get enough sleep last night. That's what it is. Amen? That's what it is. I should have... Well, if I would have went to sleep earlier, I would have had more energy for this and you'd have really been in trouble. So I really can't say what the issue is this morning, except for this, just a strong passage in the book of Proverbs, and it's true, and it will be true. Amen? Verse number 16, let's move on. How should we deal with this kind of philosophy? How should we deal with this kind of doctrine? How should we deal with this way of thinking that this old, outdated book gives us? If you was right with God, you'd get right. You'd fear God. But we're heading towards a generation, and listen to me. One of the scariest things I ever read in my Bible, and there's some very definite things that really astonish me in the Bible. But one of them is that during the tribulation, all this stuff coming down from heaven, men's still mad at God, and they know who's doing it. They're not cussing the devil. They're not cussing the Democrats. They're cussing God. They know where it's coming from. They could just as easily get right with God and say, Lord, help. But He's put them in a state of mind where they're not going to get right. They know it's coming from God. They know they can't do anything about it, but they're still going to cuss Him anyway. Yeah. Amen. When it comes to their safety, they'll say, let the rocks hide us. They're calling for the rocks to fall on them and crush them and hide them from God. Weird. That's the same mentality that would sit down in front of Marilyn Manson and enjoy it. That's the same mentality. It's the same mentality that would enjoy seeing monsters and stuff come up out of the grave and eat somebody's liver and guts and stuff. It's the same mentality that likes that stuff. It's the same mentality to go to a rock concert and beat one another up for fun. I mean, literally, get in a fight with each other during the concert for fun and beat one another down. It's the same mentality that would say, God, I'm mad at you for all this. I'd rather for the rocks to fall on me and crush me than to get right with you. That's the same mentality. And you say, Brother Mike, there sure are bad, ain't they? No, you've got some of that mentality too. I've got some of that mentality too. It'll look right at the right thing, knowing I ought to do the right thing, go do the wrong thing. Same mentality. Same mentality. It's the same mentality David had when he looked over there. David, the man after God's own heart, looked over there at his neighbor's wife and said, go get her. Boy, it don't even look like he thought long about it. You would think the other went back to his library and sat down and thought about her a little while, and he don't look to me like he thought twice. Go get her. When she come up with child, go get her husband. We'll fix this. He's not going home, David. Give me my ink and my pen. Write a note. Have this man killed. Just like that. He didn't ponder about it or think too hard about nothing. Amen? Put him close to the wall so he gets hit. David. That's David. And it's a mysterious thing, but you got churches full of people this morning that swear up and down ain't nothing wrong with them since they're saved by grace. They just, we're like third cousins to the deity. You can't talk to us this way. Amen. Amen. I can talk to you that way. You need to get right with God. Amen. You say, why? Because as soon as you do, you get rid of about half of them pills you've been taking. Amen. Oh, Brother Mike. Well, you can all Brother Mike me till you hit the grave. It ain't going to make no difference. Getting right with God is the key to joy. And if this passage of Scripture don't make that clear, there's a disconnect. Maybe God did reach down there and tune you out. Because God will tune you out. You keep following that attitude that looks right at the right thing and right at the wrong thing and chooses the wrong. Eventually, God will tune you out. Amen. Paul said you make your faith shipwreck. Ships don't usually sail after they're shipwrecked. Amen. 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 A wise man feareth. That's the answer. The wise man feareth and departeth from evil. I better stop that. I better stop it. Now, think about what I just read you. I mean, you might start shouting on this. You think this is a hard message, but this is where it gets to the good part. Look what it says. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth, and what does he do? He departs from evil. So a wise man got evil too. I just told you about David. Wise men are prone to wonder, as all men are. Now, hallelujah. Amen. Because most of your doubts and fears arise from the fact that you are a fool. You do foolish things because you are a fool. You're kin to Adam, just like the rest of us. You're descended from a sinner. You're prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's probably not a truer hymn exists than that, except for the ones that give glory to God for His goodness and righteousness. But what I'm trying to get across to you is wise men, preaching about all this stuff about being wise doesn't mean you're flawless. It means you've got enough sense to get right. Doesn't mean you make every decision right, but it means that you can look at a bad decision and discern from it and depart from your evil ways or wicked ways or faulty ways or foolish ways and get things right in your life. And if I was you and I had been saved any length of time and I hadn't seen any places in my history where I turned from doing the wrong thing and started doing the right thing, I'd do a checkup because you might not be in the faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Either that or you're a desperate fool.
Yeah.
Amen. And my only admonition for that is stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. You say, why? Because a wise man can. Amen. You see how wise you are, don't you, my brethren? Get right. That'd be an indication of it. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. No, I know. I know. You know you need to get saved, right? Yeah, I know. I'll get saved one day. I sure will. I tell you what, when I get saved, I ain't going to be like one of these hypocrites. Anybody ever think that way before they got saved? Then you get saved and found out you're still a hypocrite to this day.
Yeah.
All Christians are hypocrites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them are just wise hypocrites and they get right from time to time.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Real true. Real true. Wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Sometimes I'll get in my own evil little ways. You know, evil doesn't mean wicked, although evil can be wicked. But evil just, it means bad. It means negative. It means unfruitful. It means hardship. Evil has a lot of meanings. And you and I, we can get involved in wickedness. And when we do, we're taking part in evil. The wickedness of this world, the drugs, the fornication, all that stuff is evil.
Yep.
Not reading your Bible is evil.
Yep. Yep.
Not praying is evil.
Yep.
You say, well, it has a negative effect on you, see.
Sure.
When I get in the way of evil and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm doing things that I ought not do, one little skip of the beat of my heart, one sickness, one ache, one pain, one hardship in my life, my mind immediately goes to the fact that God is judging me.
Yeah, amen.
God's working on me. You say, why? Because anything negative in this world is God's judgment on sin.
Yeah.
Anything. Well, Brother Mike, God said that the blind man wasn't because of his sin, but because... Now, let's back up. You're talking about purpose. Jesus was talking about purpose. If any man has ever been blind on this earth, it's because sin. Now, it definitely wasn't because his mother sinned. Now, you could do something to cause physical ailment. But in this case, he said, it's not because his mother sinned or his daddy sinned that God could get glory. God was going to use that thing. It's time. But it was anybody that's got anything wrong with them is because of sin. Amen. I look around, I see fellas with glasses. I should be wearing glasses myself. Why? Because I'm a sinner. It all goes back to sin. Every bit of evil goes back to sin. And boy, I tell you what, when I think about the maladies of my mind, finances, family, body, whatever the case might be, that's God's judgment. Brother Mike, that's a bad way to live. That'll cause you to have a bad personality and all this stuff. It might have me, cause me to have a bad personality, but it get me on my face saying, God, forgive me and help me and have mercy on me.
Yeah.
God, don't let me slip back out into the foolishness of my teenage years.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Got a migraine headache today. Get right with God.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Mike, you can't think that way. I think you ought to think that way.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The softer you walk before God, the better off you'll be.
Amen.
The softer you walk before God, the more I believe He'll pay attention to your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
I believe it. Amen. Now, I don't take too much into signs and wonders. You know how I believe in all this kind of stuff. But boy, I store stuff away. Now, you'll think this is funny. And I wish there was something that something that can be done about it, but the have a little laugh. This one's on me. Amen. There's a time not too long in my past that my mind wasn't right. My heart wasn't right, going through some of the motions. And my shower, my bathroom, I don't know, my shower shouldn't come into, but the floor of it gets this stuff on it. I don't know what it is, but you got to scrub it off every so often and stuff. But I looked down one day and this stuff on the shower floor, it looked just like a skull. I was like, ugh. I'll scrub it off and it come back. At one time it was looking right at me. I scrubbed it off, you know, when it come back, it was the same skull, but it turned this way, and I was like, "Ooh, amen." But you'll think this is foolish, and this doesn't mean anything. I just thought it was neat and went along with the story. I scrubbed it off. I began to get my heart right, and began to get my mind right, and began to discipline myself again, and all this kind of stuff. I looked down; it looked like George Washington. The skull was gone. I was like, praise the Lord. Amen? International symbol for death is an old skull. Amen. And now it looks like a real man. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to scrub that off. Amen? Let's say that. You said, Brother Mike, that's no way to think. That's the way I think. I think it's the only sane way to think. If you didn't have a reminder every once in a while that you're dealing with death, you would get further and further into it. Oh, how do you know that, Brother Mike? Because we just read it. The backslider will be filled with his own ways. Amen. If you get away with it, you'll go to extreme. Amen. That's why, listen, you miss one church service, oh, man, I feel bad about that. You miss three or four, well... Who would say that ain't true? I know it's true for me. Yeah. Amen. There was a time when I got me a job, kept me out of Wednesday night. Before long, hey man, I could probably do a job on Sunday. If you need help, give me a call. Mm-hmm. Driving a tow truck, call could come in any time. Now, if you really backed up, you'd give me a call on Sunday night. But I couldn't get to that point where I'd done until I'd done missed 10 or 12 Wednesday nights. Still married. I still believe the Bible. I still pray once in a while. I'll miss a month. Well, you know, after all, I'm just trying to provide for my family. I still love God. I still got a Bible. I'm still saved. My wife's still going to church. See, you're a fool. You're a fool. I'm a fool. We've all got that fool in us. And if we give it its head, we'll fill our life up with it. Amen. Amen. I hear a bunch of folks out back. Y'all should have come to Sunday school. You'd be in here sitting here right now. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and grace. We ask you, God, to help us to understand these things and get our hearts right with you. Lord, you said the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom. And Lord, I believe there's so much more after that, that Lord, we don't even comprehend what all it takes to live a Christian life. But I pray you'd help us to fulfill these simple things in our lives. And God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to look on the things of this world with a harsh eye, God, that we'd not just accept everything that comes down the road. And I pray, God, that we'd be more ready to believe your word than we are to believe the movie stars and the scientists and all that philosophy of this world and all that junk, God. I pray you'd help us to be the Christians we ought to be. I pray, God, you'd help us to be the believers of your word that we ought to be. And I pray you'd help us to be the faithful Christians and brothers in Christ that we ought to be toward one another. We'll thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break.